Blog Talk Radio.
Caregivers, have you ever felt like nothing is going right? Well, cheer up and welcome to Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Program on Health Star Worldwide, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grieving process. They say that there are only three types of people in the world: those who are caregivers, those who will become caregivers, and those who will someday need a caregiver. Join Dave and his guests now and every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific on Health Star Worldwide as they share practice tips and tools that you can start using immediately to help get you through this day so you can live your caregiver life more fully and abundantly. Now, here's your caregiver host, Dave Nassani.
From Los Angeles, a big LA welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land. I am Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver, coming to you live globally through the famous Health Star Worldwide Network. Yes, folks, I'm the guy who's going to help you and guide you along this very difficult journey called caregiving. And we're going to do our very best to help you avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout. And today I have the honor of co-hosting with the founder of the Caregiver Space, a very successful website, blog, chat room, platform, along with a Facebook page with over, my God, I got to take a breath just to say this number, 120,000 followers. This is Adrienne Gruberg's fourth time co-hosting with me this week, and she is just amazing. And
hello, thank you.
Hi, Adrienne. Oh, so nice to see you again or hear from you again.
You too. And
thank you. We have an exciting show planned for you guys out there and in here. Lisa Hirsch, author, blogger, writer for the Huffington Post. I'm impressed with that. Her first published book is My Mom, My Hero, which is about a mother and daughter's bittersweet journey and how Lisa's love for her mother after she became ill was transformed. So you do not want to miss this interview, folks. As I said, I'm your host, Dave Nassani, and this show is to caregivers of every kind. And the one thing we know about caregivers is that they are caring, selfless, sacrificial. Oh, yeah, did I mention that they're very prone to burnout as well? Because they tend to put everyone else's needs above their own. Come on, learn a lesson from the airlines. Remember every time you board a plane, besides getting frisked, they start to tell you about in the event of an emergency, an unlikely emergency, to put your oxygen mask on first before you help your child with their mask. Gosh, that sounds so selfish, doesn't it? But the reason they tell you that is because they know that you will most likely black out if you don't put your needs above the needs of your loved ones. And then you won't be of any help to anybody with anything. And guess what? Caregivers are exactly the same way. Now, we also talk about grief and loss here and the devastating effects that it can have on us. It automatically throws us into this other thing called the grief process. And unfortunately, folks, there is only one way out of the grief process, and that's to go through the grief process. You can't go around it, can't go over it, can't go under it. You got to go through it. So hopefully we can help you through your grief and your loss if you happen to feel like you are stuck. And hey, if you're first time listening or tuning in, you can learn more about me and my show and my radio podcast, my books, my videos, my blog. I know it sounds like it's all about me, but it's not. It's actually all about you. So go to my website, caregiverscaregiver.com, and take our short quiz that will assess if you are a candidate for burnout. And just for doing that, I'm going to email you my first book. Call this your Christmas present. One arm, one leg, 100 words, overcoming unbelievable hardships, absolutely free. All right, enough of that. Adrienne, welcome back. You actually know Lisa, our guest, don't you?
Yes, I do. Very well.
Hi, Adrienne.
Hi, Lisa.
Let's bring her on. Hi, Lisa, and thank you so much for patiently sitting through all that introduction stuff for our first-time listeners.
Actually, I love it. I listened to it for the first time, I have to be honest, yesterday, and I thought it was great. And I love your analogy with the plane.
Well, I can't take credit for it. Others have done it before me. But I just want you to tell us who Lisa Hirsch is. Just, I'm going to let you introduce yourself today.
Well, I'm a caregiver, and I'm having a little problem with that word anymore. I'm a daughter. I'm a daughter with a mom.
She's a daughter from Brooklyn.
I'm trying to come up with a new name because it's like they give you this name of caregiver, and it's like, you know what? Who I am? I'm a mother. I have a son. I have a mother who has Alzheimer's, and so that then gives me the word of being a caregiver. And for me, my story is kind of like, I think a little unusual, but my mom and I felt, my mom has Alzheimer's for about 13 years, and out of her illness, she became my hero, and I have an unconditional love for her that is very different than what my relationship with her was before.
Really? Well, so explain that. What was it like before?
I loved her. She's my mother. I mean, there were times I went to her, you know, I needed her, whatever. Things happened. I was upset. I was excited. I was happy. But I also remember her calling me saying, "You never call me." I mean, I wasn't a daughter that called her mom every day.
Your mother, too. My mother used to say that.
But I didn't have that closeness. Like, there are some mother daughters, like, you know, it's just they have a very special relationship.
Right.
She wasn't my best friend, but when I think of it now, she was my best friend.
Mm.
You know, it's like, so I have a very dear friend who I wanted her mother to be my mother, who said to me, "Was your mother really, maybe she was always like this, but you never gave her a chance. You never saw it."
Familiarity breeds contempt, they say.
Maybe. So anyway.
Appreciate what we have. I think the Mills brothers saying, you never miss the water till the well runs dry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That could be true. But anyway, so out of my mom's illness, a whole world opened for me. A whole world where a supportive world, a different kind of world. I was always in the business world. It opened in a way for me that I became so much more aware of just elderly people in the streets, you know, walking in the streets, just caring differently about people on a whole different level. So it also, not that I wasn't a nice, kind person, but I think it brought out a warmer side, a kinder, a more caring side of how I am with, relate to other people. Even when I go into the nursing home with my mom or when I volunteered, it's a different compassion and putting myself in their place almost if I was them.
Hmm. Adrian, how's your relationship with your mother before?
Oh, it was horrible, and it always was horrible. And when she passed away, I actually looked at her and said, "Why did you have to be such a witch?" But I had promised my dad, who I adored, that I would be there for her, and come hell or high water, I promised him, you know, I don't care what she says, I don't care what she does, I'll care for her. And I did it with an open heart, and knowing she was my only mother, and that she was not going to change, especially at that point in her life. She had all of her wits about her, and she still had a foul temper. But, you know, I was a long-distance caregiver, so when I went, I asked her, "What can I do for you to make your life easier?" And she said, "Call me every day." And I did, and that made all the difference in the world.
Really? That's a commitment, calling every day.
Every day. And and instead of having the guilt build up because I hadn't called for 2 weeks or something, calling every day, the calls were 3 minutes, sometimes, you know, a half hour, depending on what my day was like.
Was there a shift for you when you called? Was there a shift for you with your feelings towards her?
No, there was never a shift with my feeling towards my mother. I have, however, been like you, much, much more sensitive to elderly people around me. And in New York, where both Lisa and I are from, Manhattan is a walking city. And you do see people on the streets. It's not as though people have to drive. So they're not necessarily trapped in their homes. They can go out and walk and run their own errands. And the people who are elderly who manage to do that for themselves, I cheer them on. I always say hello. It's the old song.
Right, just the smile
there.
Just saying
hello,
smile.
And hello.
Yep,
right.
Smile and hello. You see their face lights up. It's like
right.
The young. Yeah, we forget, and we will be there soon.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
There's such an aura when I see people in wheelchairs getting
yes.
on the buses. Get on buses, and it's like, and go, and get off the buses,
and
go.
And do, and just do.
Yep.
Their will is amazing.
Yep.
And,
wow.
But you know,
and I salute them.
One of the things you said, Adrian, which Dave doesn't know about me, and you do, is so out of my mom getting Alzheimer's, I called her every day. I still call every day, but now I can't speak to her.
Mm-hmm,
I called
right.
every single day and spoke
wow.
to her up until she went into the nursing home, which is August was 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Every single day it was, but that's why I asked you what I asked you, Adrian, because for me it was out of those calls that the relationship built, and she started to inspire me, and she became my hero.
But my mother has been. My mother was so contrary; she died on leap year, so we could only. So this year we have the anniversary. This year we have the anniversary of her death. Not on the Jewish calendar, of course. It's every year, but
so you only celebrate
she
every
waited.
4 years, right?
She waited. You know,
she's not dead that long.
So, well,
it's
12 years, and I will still get that pang at 8 o'clock at night every now and then. I have to call my mother.
I heard
still
that
there.
On the, listen, I just heard that on the show you did. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's still with me.
So,
it'll always be with me.
Wow.
I totally
lost my question I was going to ask, so go on. It'll come back.
Okay.
No, but out of my phone calls with my mom, because I know this is what Adrian and the caregiver space is majorly about, I started to write my feelings. And I started to write things that my mother said that it was like words of wisdom were coming out of her mouth. I was hearing it different, reacting to anything that she said. It was just taking it in purity. And so out of that, I just started to write all the time. And then I started my blog. And it is amazing how many people started to write me that could relate to this subject that we're all talking about, talking about now, like mothers and relationships. And the writing for me was healing. In my way, it was saying more positive things about my relationship. But the writing, it's like I just always share with people when they thank me for what I write, which I still constantly get comments about their relationships with their mother or what I wrote, and it's times when they have lost someone 6 years ago, 10 years ago, 2 years
right.
ago, and they're still reading what people are writing, and I just recommend, and this is with Adrian, is write what you're feeling. You know, like they thank
exactly.
me. Write what you're feeling, because it is healing. It is healing.
Yeah, and even if you've waited and are not doing it at the time that it's going on, it is healing, you know, after a loss, to just write about it. And it just...
Well, I know when my father...
Somehow.
Well, I know when my father passed away,
mm-hmm.
which is over about 22 years ago, that... Mm. I wrote, I don't know if I ever said this to you, but I wrote a letter and I put it in his coffin. And I have suggested to some people, perhaps you know, because it's some kind of closure for them. You know, you were talking, mm-hmm. you talk about, Dave, about grieving, and I heard you on the interview that I was listening to yesterday from the December 22nd with Adrian about mm-hmm. when does grieving mm-hmm. start, when does it end, what is it different, it's different for everybody, but yep. there is yep. some kind of closure. I think, Adrian, I don't know if you will agree with it. I mean, if someone wrote to someone after they passed away, whatever they need to express or say to them.
I mean, the fact that you were able to actually put it in his casket's beautiful. but even if it's after that, it does bring a sense of closure for people.
And like what you said, I was
all the things I wish I said, all the things I meant to say. Say them. Get them out.
Right. Whatever it is, even if it's not coming from love. Because underneath all of it, there is love.
Exactly.
Underneath your anger and pain, there is love. But
right.
But I was, like you said, about your father, I was very close with my father.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I also heard you talk about your dog, like the... And I had three dogs, and so there's an unconditional love always for my dogs.
Right.
But even when I, and with them, we could take them out of their agony and be kind to them and put them to sleep, which
mm-hmm.
we can't for humans, is I also wrote and put something in their, it wasn't a casket, it could have been a shoebox.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were,
right.
I had them cremated. But
mm-hmm.
and a picture, and it just like was really.
It's a good
so
feeling
to me. Yep. Yep.
It gives you a good feeling. I know that. Yeah.
Well, listen, girls. Let's take a break, and when we come back, I want to talk about a thing called
you get two
Jewish
girls together
deal.
That know each other, Dave. You're in trouble.
Two New Yorkers.
Three. I'm from Brooklyn.
Oh, okay.
My accent has just dissipated over the last 40 years.
Okay. No, I knew you were from. I knew you were a New York guy.
So think about the Jewish guilt. Now, I'm a Gentile, so there's something special about the Jewish mother and how she has the gift, shall we say, of dispensing guilt to their children. So we'll be right back. Don't go away.
Caregivers, have you ever felt like nothing is going right? Well, cheer up and tune in to Dave, the Caregivers Caregiver radio program on HealthStar Worldwide, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grieving process. With roughly 100 million caregivers in the U.S. and Canada alone, it's about one-third of the population. That means everybody probably knows somebody caring for a loved one. They say that there are only three types of people in the world: those who are caregivers, those who will become caregivers, and those who will someday need a caregiver. Mothers of special needs children, family members caring for elderly parents, spouses, siblings, or friends caring for disabilities such as Alzheimer's, dementia, cancer, stroke, heart disease, diabetes, muscular dystrophy, AIDS, autoimmune diseases. The list goes on. Join Dave and his guests every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific on HealthStar Worldwide as they discuss avoiding caregiver burnout and surviving grief. You'll start feeling better in no time as you begin to receive practical tips and tools that you can start using immediately to help you get through the day and to live life more fully and abundantly.
So let's talk about guilt or Jewish guilt. Is there a difference between guilt and Jewish guilt? Let me ask you that question, Adrian.
Well, we're both Jewish, so we don't know.
Oh, you're both
know
Jewish. Well, I can ask both of you then.
We don't know. Is there a difference?
I just know from Jewish guilt. I know it. There's a master's degree in it for sure, even a doctorate.
There's so many jokes.
It's unofficial, but it's very, very good. They're good at it. Yeah. I mean, and I had, you know, I had my mother-in-law living with me for 3 years when I had two people that I was caring for with cancer, for those who don't know. And I watched her at work with her son. And, boy, she was something. Really? You know, there is something. It's been ingrained in you. Just little nudges here and there that just stay with you.
Hmm. So what is it that motivated you, Adrian, and you, Lisa, in your interactions with your mom? Did it start out being motivated by guilt and then slowly go away for either one of you, or did it stay?
No, for me, it was never guilt. For me, it was never guilt. For me, it was my mother came up from Florida, and she started to say things about her eyes, or that she felt disoriented, or she got lost going to the doctor. And her younger brother passed away from Alzheimer's. But while he was ill, he lived in Florida, and his wife, my aunt, used to call me and tell me, your mother looks disheveled. She was always the cleanest person. I'm trying. She would tell me things, and I thought she was just upset that my mother wasn't sick and her husband was. So I there was a more of a feeling of caring and feeling what's going on with my mom, even though I was not thinking that she had Alzheimer's. But there was a shift in her. But I think I was in denial. I was in denial. There was no think. So it was out of like a caring, you know, I think it all of a sudden it hit me, my mother's getting older. I don't know, I was softening, Adrian.
I just know some of my visits to see my folks were like, well, we haven't been there for a year, we really better go down. Not necessarily want to go down, should go down. There's a lot of shoulds in there. And yes, then I did things out of guilt or conscience. But once I accepted the responsibility of caring for my mother long distance as it was, I was still the one that was on the phone with the services that were sending someone to care for her and her friends and whatever. So every day it was something. And once I decided to do it and said yes, I did it with an open heart, and I did not do it out of guilt. Did not.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
So you're improving. That's always a good thing. You know, I read a book on Alzheimer's one time, a long time ago. Actually, I skimmed through it. It was called something like Creating Moments of Joy for the Person with Alzheimer's or Dementia. And it spoke about how you can make moments, because let's face it, the person with dementia or Alzheimer's, you know, they're kind of like 10-second Tom. You tell them something. Hi, my name is Tom. And 10 seconds later, hi, my name is Tom. You know, but they do have moments, and you can make moments. Go ahead. Want to say something?
Well, yeah, I want to say a lot of things. One, it is amazing to me. It's almost like they can wake up, and I don't mean from the dead, but some of them that are so far gone and just sitting in wheelchairs and don't talk anymore, and their heads are slumped over when they hear music. And they hear especially songs that were from, it could be show tunes from not like I'm talking about something that just came on the radio today.
Sure.
Right.
They become alive. It is amazing what I have witnessed, number one. Number two, I feel definitely in this, the caregivers, I believe, suffer more than the person with the disease. There is a silver, if there could be any kind of silver lining, whatever pops into, I'll just say my mom's head, if it's a fleeting thought that's upsetting that her husband died, or she thinks about her parents died, she's still running around the nursing home at 91 looking for her parents. But if she has any kind of sad thought, it's gone. It's gone in 2 seconds, and you don't remember the thought. You don't. So even if when I'm with my mom and she'd say to me, you know, in walking around the nursing home, like my leg hurts. And I know, like, if she keeps complaining about her leg really hurts. I go and I get the nurse. I bring it back. They say to her, "What does your leg hurt?" She says, "My leg doesn't hurt." it's so there is this, like I use the word silver lining to it, and it's more, I think, and I'm going to say, it's not even thinking, I could say I know I'm in a support group with other adult children who has mm-hmm. a parent with some form of Alzheimer's dementia, is that we see them disappearing. We are upset that yes. they may not know our name and who we are. My mother isn't upset. She's not thinking, oh, I couldn't remember Lisa's name or she's my daughter.
Right.
There is one thing that I'll never know, though. She does run around looking for her parents and tells you all the time that they're upset, they don't know where she is, and they're upset, and she's got to find them. She's got to go home. So there is this one continuous, like a broken record, that stays with her.
Mm.
But I don't know if she's upset or troubled by that. You know, if I, it's
for all we know, Lisa, they're communicating with her and they're looking for her.
Well, you know, it's really crazy. So in the nursing home, she was really tired, and I went to the room with her, and she says, "But my mom's going to be coming." And I said to her, "Oh, I mm-hmm. spoke to Grandma." She said, "You did?" Like with such a surprise. And I said, "She's not worried about you, Ma. She knows where you are." And it was like she closed her eyes and took a nap.
Ah.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you're certainly right about the moments. And let me take it on the opposite end, the positive ones. You know, you could be talking to somebody and all of a sudden maybe you say, "Hey, remember when we were kids, we used to build forts in our bedrooms with sheets and everything?" And then all of a sudden she comes alive and she goes, "Yeah." And next thing you know, she's laughing so hard. And then like 30 seconds later, it's gone. But
right,
you know what?
Exactly.
She had a moment.
A moment.
That moment is going to stay with her all day, all week, all month. And it may make her warm and fuzzy on the inside. And long after it's gone, she may not know why she's warm and fuzzy on the inside.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it just that good feeling just stays with them. And that's
mm-hmm,
why,
absolutely.
You know, people say, "Well, I don't know how to talk with my mother anymore. You know, she doesn't even know who I am," or whatever. It's okay. Try to have these moments where they come alive, or a song or whatever, because you're just giving them a blessing that can last who knows how long.
Well,
and
you
the
know
more,
what?
The merrier.
The biggest thing of comments that I get is people thanking me where they see how I look at it, and it's being grateful and thankful for what I have right now.
Mm-hmm.
My mom, this is going to... If she doesn't pass away from a heart attack or pneumonia, which is would be, you know, or related to the Alzheimer's, not the heart attack, then if she goes the whole route, she will one day not be speaking. Your whole body just shuts down. So
mm-hmm.
I come from a place, and I really own this, about being
mm-hmm.
grateful and thankful for what I still have. So I don't get upset that she doesn't know me. I mean, look,
mm-hmm.
I have my moments when I could be upset that she doesn't know me. But
sure.
then I think it's cute when she'll say, "How could you be my daughter? My daughter's, you know, and she is a little baby, you know?" it's like, I don't take it like, oh, my mother doesn't know who I am anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But then I do think of I do feel, though, for the other daughters, I'll use that, could be a son also, that was so close to with their mother all the time, who really was their best friend,
mm-hmm.
and who they chose to talk to every day, a few times a day, that
mm-hmm.
they have lost their best friend.
Right.
So, yeah, they're grieving before their parent is totally gone to what they
yeah.
once had.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's amazing. Mm. Any thoughts on that, Adrian?
I wanted, not on that, but I wanted to say something about this, the music. I saw an amazing video of was a Jewish volunteer, a woman who was in her 70s at least, who was visiting a black woman with Alzheimer's, and who was in a wheelchair.
I saw it.
And
go ahead.
Did you see it?
Yeah, it's miraculous.
The most amazing thing I've ever seen. The Jewish woman started singing "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know," and she was clapping. And then the woman in the wheelchair started to clap. And then she came out of whatever she was in and was singing along like she was in the church choir. She was fully present, and it was. I mean, it gives me goosebumps thinking about it.
Yep, as
music,
you're saying it, yep.
Music is amazing.
Amazing. Amazing.
Yeah.
And wait, Dave, and they remember the words to the songs.
Oh, yeah. Not just clapping,
My father sang show tunes all the time in the house. He had a great voice, wanted to be a singer, never did it. And my mother, when you play show tunes around her, oh my, it's like, it's so happy, and the words, and they know it, and it's like, and the other crazy thing for me with my mother, it's not so good anymore because no one does it with her, my mother still could spell. She couldn't remember my husband of 35 years. She didn't know it's my husband, but she still could spell. And I'm talking about words like a beautiful sunshine, not like a three.
Really?
Yep. And that takes a memory.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. To me, it's a fascinating disease in some kind of weird way.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you, Lisa, I'm currently writing a book now. It's called The Capable Caregiver. And in that book, I'm comparing how all caregiving, whether it's dementia and Alzheimer's or cancer, stroke, ALS, PTS, whatever, all have many themes in common to a caregiver. But some have themes that are not in common, you know, like elder care. Would you care to comment on how you think elder care is very different from all other caregiver challenges? Or how it's similar? How it's different and how it's similar?
I'd really have to think about that one. I mean, Adrian, you go for it.
Well, I think, you know, in elder care, as people get older, they really don't want to let go of things. It's the old cliche of when it's time to take the car keys away. People want to go shopping for themselves. They, you know, they want to get up, get dressed in the morning and take a shower. And no, they don't want to use their shower chair. And then you have to say, well, you're doing it for me, not for yourself.
Yes,
because I'm a child.
Lack of logic and reasoning.
You have to say, yes, I know you can take a shower, but I need to know you're safe.
Yeah.
You know, I need to know.
But like when you said the thing about the car keys, it's taking away, you know, whatever form their independence.
Totally. That the car keys are that's like the final frontier. I mean, people write books about taking away the car keys. I've had a lot of people ask me about that. How do you do it? And you bargain, you do whatever you have to do to show them that they're really not safe on the road anymore because they can hurt someone else. You can say, I know that you're okay, but, you know, if you can't hear what's going on outside, a little kid might be screaming and you won't hear them. So it's not that you can't drive anymore. You don't have the facility to hear as well as you did. And, I mean, you have to handle them with kid gloves to let them know that they're doing great. They're doing so much, and you don't want to discourage all the things that they want to do for themselves. But when it comes to the little things that can endanger them, like getting on step stools, you have to make sure that the things that they're doing in the house are safe. Promise me you're not going to try to get something off the top shelf of the closet. You know,
as
they're willing to try, but
but as you're saying all this, it's okay. When I started go looking at nursing homes, it's like you think about your own mortality,
right?
And as you're saying this, I'm imagining my son. Because I only have one child, but
right.
Saying things to me, and it's like you become indirectly, without anyone saying it, you're still the parent, but you become their child. Mm-hmm. It's like the discipline, and I think it's really how the adult child, let's just say that's what it might be,
yes,
approaches their parent.
Mm-hmm.
I actually thought of my husband's aunt. She's 92, just went into assisted living, but she eats with everyone, and we went to see her, and we picked her up to take her out, and she had to get signed out, and, you know, walking around the assisted living, they can call it assisted living. She had her own little apartment. They eat together, but to me, a lot of the people, it could have been a glamorized nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
And
so,
I was just watching how she was being dealt with by her children, which was not the suffocating, demanding child. Ma, you can't
mm-hmm.
do this anymore.
Right.
The way they related to her was beautiful.
Yep.
So, Adrian, you said by any means possible. Would that mean lies or deception to try to keep
no,
them safe?
No, I don't think it does mean lies or deception. I think that they're very keen on being able to pick up on that. You really just have to use the information that's available to you. And, I mean,
yeah.
if the time comes and you finally just have to put your foot down, you put your foot down. And, you know, what we did with my mother-in-law at 93, we took the car keys away because there was no way we were going to let her in the car, because we were aware of what was failing. And with my father, people said to me, you're still getting in the car with him? And I had not even considered it. And then I got in the car with him after they said that. And it's like, oh, my God, he has no business driving anymore. And
the doctors
can help. You can ask doctors to help too. They can say you really shouldn't be driving anymore.
Yeah.
Actually, I think a lot of times they'll listen to a doctor, the authority, than over a child.
Yeah.
Yes, and then it doesn't make you the enemy.
Yeah. And Lisa, you said something before, which I could think of that would apply. You said, I think the caregiver of the dementia patient hurts more than the patient themselves. So that would be a difference, because if somebody with cancer or any other, you know, disability, obviously the care receiver is hurting more. So it's like a blessed memory. You know, I don't have the best memory in the world, and I always joke around and say, you know, I'm blessed with a poor memory, because when somebody does me dirty and does me wrong, I don't remember it. So, you know, I'm not bitter and guilty.
The way you're looking at it.
Yeah.
The way you're looking at it is beautiful. Right.
So, you know, and someone occasionally will come up and say, hey, I'm really sorry for what I did. And I look at them and I say, well, what did you do? You know, so it's a blessing to have no memory sometimes.
There's one thing that I can say while I'm thinking of it and I don't forget it is, oh, I forgot it. No. If at my age, I'm 68, I'm a solo senior. My husband is dead. I have no children. I'm going to have to somehow take care of myself. So if you saw Still Alice,
the way she
puts down the things that she needs to know, or the things, I have to write a contract for myself, basically. This, and if once you can't remember or do these things, you need to stop and ask for help. And at 65 years old, I got a medic alert system because I knew that I was alone in the house, and it's not a small house, and if something happened to me, I was going to need that bracelet, because no one was going to be there to make the emergency call for me if I couldn't push that silly little button.
That's a good call.
You know,
good call, Adrian.
So many,
very wise of you.
To do it early to write down, like in Still Alice, the things that you know that you're going to need to do in order to be able to take care of yourself. Once that fails, you know,
Wait, hold that thought. Hold that thought. We need to take a break, and we'll be right back. Don't go away.
One leg, 100 words, overcoming unbelievable hardships is a touching story about Charlene, a stroke survivor. Back in 1996, Charlene was a healthy, normal, very active 52-year-old woman whose amazing talents resembled that of both a Martha Stewart and Wonder Woman. But all that changed when she suffered a massive stroke that left her severely speech impaired and paralyzed on her right side. She met her husband Dave 21 years earlier. They had a wonderful fairy tale storybook-like courtship that soon culminated in their marriage. Charlene had just come out of a marriage where after 10 years she received two black eyes and a broken nose by her former husband when he came home high on speed. Charlene believed in no second chances of any kind for abuse, so she left, finding herself all alone in the world with her 5 and 10-year-old daughters, Cynthia Lorraine and Deborah Lynn. She started raising them by herself for the next 2 years. Then fate brought them all together. After falling in love with Charlene, Cindy, and Debbie, their love then produced Rebecca. They all had a wonderful, normal life for the next 20 years. But today, things are very different for everyone. One arm, one leg, 100 words. Overcoming unbelievable hardships is the amazing story of a woman's fight to survive all that life had thrown her way. Everyone who knows Charlene is thoroughly amazed at how she lives day by day, month by month, year by year, and with a smile on her face and hope in her heart that everything is going to be okay. Her faith in God is her foundation in this hope that everything happens for a reason and what doesn't kill her will make her stronger. She inspires everyone that meets her. Best-selling author Lynn Barrington says, "If you think you have it bad, read this book. This is a beautiful, genuine story from the heart. It is inspiring and easy to read. When you finish this book, you'll be able to look at your concerns in a new light." 9-time Grammy and Dove Award recipient, the godfather of contemporary gospel music, Andre Crouch, says, "Charlene just won't let the promises of God go, and she has not let her circumstances get in the way of her faith. She's not just a survivor, she's more than a conqueror. As the Bible states, you will be encouraged by her testimony, regardless of what you're going through." Order your copy today from the author's website, onearmoneleg100words.com. And Dave and Charlene will personally autograph your copy. Enjoy.
And we are back with Lisa Hirsch and Dave Nassani and Adrian Gruberg hosting. You guys still there?
Yeah,
we're here.
What were we talking about before we were so rudely interrupted?
We're talking about... go ahead, Adrian.
Really, it was a matter of thinking ahead and planning so that it's so that you don't do to your children what your parents have done to you necessarily, because you can learn from experience how to plan gracefully for aging and help them help you in a different way.
Yeah. And Lisa, you brought up a great point. How do you find a nursing home for your mother? Because from my experience, 9 out of 10 of them, I wouldn't put my cat in, you know what I mean?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So you know,
it's a bad experience anyway. You're feeling guilty. The parent says, you'd never put me in a nursing home. You know, it's like the
there
kiss
you go.
Of death.
That's perfect what you just said. And I said before that I didn't really have guilt of things with my mother. But with the nursing home, my mother in that particular case, she doesn't know where she is. She doesn't know she went to a nursing home, but she used to say she'd rather die than ever go into a nursing home, and she was never leaving her home. But she doesn't know she left. So there's another silver lining. I looked originally in New York, thinking of bringing... My mom's in Florida. My brother's in Florida, wanting to bring her here. And it was very difficult here because they would only put her, even though she's not a wanderer, in an Alzheimer dementia ward.
Mm.
And... the people with the disease today are living much longer, much longer. So I am still on a waiting list where at this point I wouldn't bring her up here for a nursing home in the city. And there were two that were recommended. In Florida, where she is, interesting enough, so my brother we had caregivers taking care of her 12 hours a day, and they came. We knew she was getting worse, and we didn't have the money to pay for 24 hours a day. Mm-hmm. And worse meaning that they would come in the morning, and she knocked over a lamp in the middle of the night. She'd get up in the middle of the night, and like there was no one there, so mm-hmm. she would get bruised. So they came in, and she ended up with this. They told us that she had an arthritic knee. They put mm-hmm. her into the emergency room, into a hospital, and they decided she needed rehab. Well, mm-hmm. When you're in rehab, you can get into a nursing home for the rehabilitation. I mean, when right. you're in a hospital and you need to go to rehab, you can get into a nursing home, and usually they won't kick you out. So my brother looked around for different places, and this particular place was willing to take her in and knew that we were in the midst of applying for Medicaid, and they weren't taking any money from us. And they would keep the bill. You know, if Medicaid didn't come through, we would have had to pay, but they waited until the money came through. It was a few months process. The place, I would say, you would never, ever want to be in because it's an old building. It's not really nice looking. And I went to look at a place where, if I had to go to one, which was much nicer. Mm-hmm. We kept my mother in the place that she's in because the caring, the aides, the nurses are fabulous. Mm-hmm. The head of nursing's unbelievable. And they also allow her to be in this thing called a Merry Walker, which she runs around in. She's mm-hmm. strapped into it, and it's on wheels. It's like when you see people on the walkers, but this, you know, and this, you know what I'm
this
talking
about?
This is
like babies, and they're
the beautiful
walk.
The beautiful yeah. place said she we would let her in a walker, but not a merry walker. Well, when you have Alzheimer's, you would just walk away. She wouldn't even stay with it. Well, what would she need it for? And then they could fall and hurt themselves. Or the only other thing they would do was put her in a wheelchair. So this particular facility allowed my mother, and it's I don't know if I can say to you it's against the law. But loads of people, most of the nursing homes will not allow these merry walkers. And in my mother's place, only 3 people have it, and the new people coming in, they're not letting them get it. I think it's insurance purposes. I can't say the state of Florida doesn't allow it, but there is something going on with that.
And a lot of them don't allow power chairs either.
Right.
Because they can get pretty reckless. What about the smell test? You ever heard of that?
Has to pass
the smell test.
Yeah, well, her place is pretty good. Her place is really pretty good. So, yeah.
Yeah, and there's reviews online. You know, just it's hard.
Right.
But don't give up. And it's not impossible. Because some people, based on some promise that they made, you know, that they will never put them in a nursing home, it's their kiss of death. It's they're signing their own death warrant because there's no way they can do this. And if you made that promise, then get out of it. Say, listen, I want to amend that promise. Instead of saying, I'll never put you in a nursing home, I'm going to say instead, I will make sure you get the best care available.
Mm-hmm.
Because there will come a day that you will not be able to care for the level of care that she needs, and it will kill you.
Mm-hmm.
And some people will gladly die to keep that promise.
But when they get bad, and this, so she sat in the house 12 hours a day with a caregiver. They took her to the park. They took her to the shopping mall so they could shop, which was disorienting to her. She sat in front of a TV. She doesn't watch TV anymore. But there are people. I think she's better off. There are people around all the time. You know, and my mother never, we're so lucky, she never got agitated. She's on no medication for anything.
Tell Dave about the video you have of your mom with a friend.
I have a lot of great videos. That's something really great for people to do, though, Dave. It's on Facebook. Especially if you're a long distance caregiver, is to take a video. be able to see your parent whenever you want or your loved one. It's like really amazing.
It's a good time.
My brother found my mother talking to her one friend in the nursing home, and they were talking about. Maybe Adrian, you can help me out. They were talking about her daughter, her little girl. When's her little girl going to come? And the woman is telling my mother. The woman is 96 years old, still going strong. Okay, she's the other person in the Merry Walker, and she's telling my mother, "Oh, your daughter's so sweet. She's so cute." And they're sitting there talking like friends. Like, it was amazing.
It was,
and
there was a great connection.
Yeah, amazing. So they have these moments, like you were talking about a moment before, Dave. There was a moment of a communication and a friendship, and they were sitting right up, like almost touching hands to each other, caring. But then the next minute, you know, they'll walk down the hall and they don't even say hello to each other.
Right.
They don't even know they don't even know they just talked.
Well, listen, girls, we can go on for another hour, but I can't believe how fast this hour has gone. It's
been great.
It's over. So, Lisa, tell us quickly, like in 30 seconds, how someone can get a hold of you, how they can order the book, et cetera, et cetera.
My book is on Amazon in every form, audio, video, Kindle, paperback. And if you either friend me on Facebook under Lisa Hirsch, I'll write you back, or if you go on my blog, mommyhero@blogspot.com, and you send me a message, I answer everyone.
Oh, the book. Tell them the name of the book.
Oh, My Mom, My Hero.
and
you can find me
like
on Huffington Post.
Thank you again,
my hero.
Girls. We really, really appreciate it. And
Happy New Year to everybody. Happy New Year to everyone.
Happy New Year to everyone.
You,
and don't
too.
Forget to tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific and 4 p.m. Eastern. And go to our website for the free book offer, caregiverscaregiver.com. And just a reminder, don't forget that you're going to get that free book just by filling out the Am I a Candidate for Burnout Test. So until next week, may God richly bless you. And Adrian and
Lisa.
See how that memory is? Lisa. Adrian and Lisa. You know, I have a Swiss cheese memory and
well,
I hit a
hole. Yeah, that's cool.
Thank you so much for being on the show again, and we look forward to having you on again. So until next week, may God
You're
richly bless
welcome.
You. Bye-bye.
Bye bye.
Thank you for listening to the Caregivers Caregiver Radio Program with Dave Nassani. Join Dave each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific or catch the program anytime 24/7 right here on HealthStar Worldwide.